Amen. Well, the Lord kind of just nudged my heart to keep going on decrees, but we're going to study different facets of God's kingdom, and then we're going to go on with that, follow it by decrees about what we've read out of the Word of God. We're going to talk about finances right now, and I believe God wants to pour His wealth into His people and His church in these days. Amen. Our first scripture is Matthew 6:19-21. In the kingdom of God, all that we are and all that we have belongs to God. And He is Lord of all, and yet He makes us, we're the caretakers of the money that He puts in our hands. Amen? But they all belong to Him. Everything we are, everything we have belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And He likes to bless His people, but we always remember that He is the Lord. Amen? Matthew 6:19-21, it says, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart, your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. If we put our money into something, it has a piece of our heart, and it's a treasure to us. You know, we've seen all along, sometimes people can buy a new boat, and all of a sudden they'll quit coming to church because their treasure's there, you know, out with that boat on the water, and that's where they want to be. But when we put our heart and our treasure into the kingdom of God, when we put our treasure into the kingdom of God, that's where our heart is. Hallelujah. And so we not only invest finances into God's kingdom, but our talents, our time, you know, our time with the Lord is time invested into the kingdom. Matthew 6:24, and we're just going to read this passage. We all know it so well, but it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. God doesn't say that we can't have mammon or money. He says you can't serve it. You know, you can't be a servant to it. It's a tool in our hands. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it doesn't say money's the root of all evil, but the love of money. And so God doesn't mind us having money. He doesn't want money to have us. Amen. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So when we seek first God's kingdom, we're like a magnet drawing what we need to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to read 1-3. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but was made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So Abraham paid tithes that ministered to, he paid tithes to the priests that ministered to him. And now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 9, 7 through 11. And it says, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink the milk of the flock. Do I not say these things as a mere man? Or what? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it the oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? And so wherever you're getting your food from is where your money needs to go. You need to support where you're getting fed. And we're going on back to Hebrews chapter 7, and we're going to read just randomly through it. Hebrews 7, 8 says, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So when we give our money to a church or a minister, it says God is the one that receives them. Even though we're giving them to mere men, God is the one that receives them. Amen. Of whom it's witnessed that he lives. Verse 15. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. This is talking about Jesus. 17, for he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then dropping down to 22, and all this is talking about Jesus, it says, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Down to 24, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. The bottom line here is that Jesus is the high priest, and he's the Lord of the tithe. And when we give our tithes, he is the one that receives them. Amen. Abraham tithed way before the law of Moses was given. Abraham knew God as El Shaddai, the nature of God that loves, nourishes, and provides. The Bible makes it clear that we're children of Abraham and heirs of his father. So we, you know, need to follow the example of our father Abraham. Amen. We're going to look at the New Testament definition of prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and this is going to be an amplified. And it says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to have plenty. That's his heart. That's his nature. That's his promise. And we receive it by grace, which is a favor from God. The abundance, and that's what we all want. We want to have enough to meet all of our needs and to give into every good work that God puts on our heart. Amen. We just love to give. I know Faith Ministries loves to give. We love to give personally. It's a joy to give. It's just, you know, our Father is a giver. He gave his son. Our Father is a giver, and when we have him in our heart, it's just natural for us to be givers too. It's fun to give, wonderful to give. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." God wants us rich. He wants us blessed. He wants us to have plenty. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he has sworn to your fathers as it is today." And so God gave us the power to get wealth so that we could establish his kingdom. Basically, they were talking about his covenant there, but he gives his people riches, the power to get riches, so that we can build the kingdom of God. Amen. That's the purpose. And so when we are too poor to give, you know, we're not being able to put money into the kingdom of God. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God doesn't want to meet our needs according to our abilities, according to our talents, according to how hard we work. He wants to meet our needs according to his riches in glory, and he's not bankrupt. You know, he's rich. He just has it all. Hallelujah. We're going to talk just a little bit about sowing and reaping. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And we reap what we sow. And I heard a story recently of a lady that had gotten old and was hurting financially and sick. And the daughter was there, and the minister came by, and she said, "My mom gave all her life. She gave all her life, and here she is poor, and she can't hardly eat, and she's having a hard time," and she was angry. And he says, "Okay, what did she give? Did she give her money? Did she give tithe?" "No, but she was always giving people afghans and things she crocheted and food." And he said, "Well, what does she have now?" "Oh," she said, "she has so many afghans. She has 100 afghans that people all over town are bringing her afghans, crocheted blankets, and people are always bringing her food." And he says, "Well, she sowed food and she sowed afghans, and that's what she's reaping. But she didn't sow money, so she's not reaping money." And so it's important. We all need money. I don't think there's any of us that don't need money. We buy things at the grocery store. We pay utilities, all kinds of house payments and stuff. And so because we need money, it's also important that we sow money. It's important that we, it's important that we sow our time, our love, our care, kind words. You know, there's all kinds of things that we need to continually be sowing. But it's also important to so are many. Hallelujah. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you." And on into 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God doesn't want us to give ever out of obligation, but he wants us to give from our heart because we want to give. You know, it's like sometimes people feel like someone's twisted their arm to give, and they give and they didn't really want to give. You know, that we're not supposed to give. When it doesn't come out of our heart. We're supposed to, all through the Old Testament, there were so many scriptures that talked about free will offering. Bring a free will offering to the Lord. Bring what you want. Bring what's in your heart to give. And that's the offerings that God wants. Amen. Genesis 8:22 declares, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will be a principle of God. And it works. To sow seed and reap the harvest. There will always be a harvest for those who sow seed. God's economics are not dependent on what's going on in the world. The key to prosperity in times of famine is hearing and obeying God. We're going to read a story that gives us a good example in Genesis 26. We're going to read 1 through 3 and then go down to 12 through 14. Genesis 26, 1, there was a famine in the land. On to verse 2, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you." Verse 3, live in this land and I will be with you and bless you. We're going to drop down to verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he came very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great numbers of servants. Isaac would not have reaped if he had not been listening to the voice of the Lord and obeying what God said to do. He heard the Lord and he obeyed the Lord and then he sowed seed, and his obedience reaped him a huge harvest at the time when everybody else was starving and not having a crop. Amen. There are always a few blessed when the majority are shaken and fearful. Remember the widow in 2 Kings chapter 4 who sowed what she had according to the word of the Lord by Elijah the prophet, and her little turned into enough to pay all of her debt and feed her through the rest of the famine. Hallelujah. The current world economic crisis should convince us it's time to get in alignment with the kingdom of God and his economic system. It's not failing. You know, God's not even walking around up in heaven wringing his hands saying, "Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, what a mess. I'm so afraid." You know, it hasn't affected. Whatever we do doesn't affect the economy of the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm going to read some scriptures that show financial judgment on the wicked. Calvin, would you hand out those papers that are right there, please, to everyone? We're going to read, this shows the judgment, financial judgment on the wicked, but it also, a lot of them shows that the blessings go to the just and the righteous. James 5, 1 through 3 says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure for the last days." Going to Proverbs 28:8 says, "One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor." Amen. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." Well, there's a lot of sinners that have a lot of money, and the word says that their money's stored up for the righteous. Ecclesiastes 2:26, For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. Then one more scripture along these lines, and we're going to get into some decrees. Job 27:13, and then we'll drop down to 16 and 17. Job 27:13 says, "This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors received from the Almighty." And then down to verse 16, "Though he heaps up silver like dust and piles up clothing like clay, he may pile it up, but the just will wear it, and the innocent will divide the silver." Amen. Okay, get the paper that I gave you, and we're going to start on the decrees. We taught about decrees on Sunday, but I will read the scripture, and then we will do the decrees together. Job 22:28 says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways." And then Philippians 4:19 says, "God will provide all of my needs according to the riches of his glory, which are ours in Christ Jesus." And now let's do the decree together, and we can say, "We decree." We decree God meets my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We decree, because I seek God's kingdom first, everything I need is drawn to me like a magnet. Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." We decree, by God's grace, I have everything I need and an abundance to give unto every good work. I am a generous, joyous giver. Amen. Now, I decree, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The mountains with their caves, the caves with their treasures, the meadows with their trees, the trees with their fruit, the land with its pastures, the pastures with their cattle, the soil with its seeds, the seeds with their crops, the silver and gold and all the precious minerals. Yes, the precious gems and minerals. The entire sphere of creation and all it contains is the Lord's. And I'm his baby. Hallelujah. I'm his child. Hallelujah. That's my inheritance, because all that belongs to the Lord. That's our legal inheritance as children of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read just a few pieces of prophetic words, and then we're going to go on. In 06, there was prophecy came forth here that godly companies were going to be rising up. In 06, it says, "Property for a new ministry center will be given to us." And this year, when Matt Merrill was here in January, he said, "Douglas will be known as successful, prosperous, happy, and known. I'm about to expose resources that fuel a new movement of economic growth. The economy is mine. Declare prosperity over Douglas. Claim my righteousness in the economic system of the area. The church is rising up to lead and innovate in the economic and social systems. It will be righteous mammon, says the Lord. It will be full of justice." I just got a correction there. Matt was here the 1st of December, not in 2015, but he was talking about this year. Okay. And then he went on to say, there's a new vision for Douglas. It will be revitalized and lead in economic ways and beyond. So let's do these decrees. I decree the economy is God's. His righteousness reigns in the economic. I'm stuttering tonight. So Lord, help me to get my tongue straight. Yes. I decree the church is rising up to lead and innovate in the economic and social systems. Amen. I decree godly companies are rising up in Douglas. I decree lost harvest will now be restored to us. I decree lost property will now be restored to us. I decree lost finances will now be restored to us. I decree the years the locusts, the palmer worms, and the canker worms have eaten will now be restored. I decree angels sent to bring us success, prosperity, and financial security be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree angels who connect us to places, people, events, businesses, material properties, sales, jobs, and job promotions that prosper us be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree the tithe brought to God's house causes Jehovah Jireh, our provider, to open the windows of heaven over our lives and families. Amen. I decree angels from pathways in the skies are working to transform the wealth of the wicked to Christ's heirs. Be loosed in Jesus' name. Who here is an heir of Christ? Ooh, yeah. And the angels are working. It's a time. Hallelujah. I decree wealth is being transferred to us individually and corporately. Amen. I decree financial bondage is being broken. I decree debt is being supernaturally removed. I decree angels sent to reveal hidden treasures we knew nothing about be loosed in Jesus' name. I decree the wealth of the sinner is being laid up for us. I decree prosperity be released now. I decree lack is bound and abundance is loosed. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job says you decree a thing and it'll be done to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for the word going into our heart. And Lord, we just ask that we be very alert to your spirit. I believe we're living in strategic times, and it's the timing of the Lord. God is going to be moving things about. He is going to be making changes. I see in my mind's eye, a great host of the angelic beings above us, around us, working in our behalf. Oh, I see as we pray, as we seek God, as we declare God's will be done in this place, that the angels are free and they're there working and moving. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that the angels of the Lord are around our borders, around the borders of Douglas. Oh, we declare and we decree that God's will be done in Douglas, Arizona, as it is in heaven. That heaven come down and fill this town with the glory of the Lord. We decree a great harvest of souls. We decree that healing will flow as a river. We just say in the name of Jesus, gifts of spirit be loosed. Gifts of the spirit be loosed in Jesus' name. Gifts of healing be loosed to your people. Oh, faith be loosed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Prophetic utterances be loosed in the name of Jesus. Words of wisdom and words of knowledge be loosed in the name of Jesus. Working of miracles be loosed in the name of Jesus. Oh, discerning of spirits be loosed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for a mighty, mighty army of the Lord rising up, rising up, rising up, rising up in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for an army of youth marching, 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 rising up, rising up, rising up to follow the will and the plan and the purpose of God. Oh, lahayne osho, enayo hai, enaya shel anabo hai, enayo sheli ando riahai. Oh, we loose in the name of Jesus the presence of the Lord to fill our town. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, for angelic activity all over town. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, lahano she ni bo mandiri hai uneashi. Oh, la riayo she. We thank you for, oh, hallelujah, that our count is accountable. Accountable for the integrity of the town. Oh, that you are causing people to rise up. And I, oh, I, Yashay, Yahoah, Nehai, and Nehai, and demand right living. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, for a town of integrity. We thank you, Jesus, for your army. Army rising up with healing, with healing, with healing in their wings. We thank you, Jesus, for a release of the gifts of healing flowing not just in our midst, but out in the community, everywhere we go, everywhere we go, healing, the river of healing flowing through your people. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And I hoai ashe, those multitudes of people that have been bound by Satan to keep them out of church, we loose them in the name of Jesus. Satan, we command you to turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Oh, hate io hate night washe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom, freedom, freedom to follow you and your ways and your plan and your purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our ears to hear our marching orders, to hear what you would tell us day by day by day by day, that we be continually obedient to you. Oh, we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anyone have something that the Lord's bringing up in your heart? A prayer, a decree, a declaration. Something's coming up in your heart, rising up in your heart. Just, we thank you, Lord, for your mighty power released. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, hate hishi. We praise you, Most High. Most High, we praise you. We cover our faith family, our church people and their families, our partners in the United States and in Mexico. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. Oh, we declare Psalms 91 over them, that they abide, that we all abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We abide under the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, lahaina ayoshani ayhai. We bind sickness. We cover us with blood of Jesus, that sickness won't enter our camp. Oh, distractions won't enter our camp. We bind the untimely death in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bind accidents and calamities and attacks against finances. Oh, we bind identity theft, that it not come to any of our people in the name of Jesus. Oh, we cover our faith family with the blood of Jesus. Oh, that we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for protection from all evil. And anything that the enemy tries to send will have to pass over, because we're under that blood covenant, under that blood of Jesus, under the shadow of the Almighty God. Holy, 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 holy. Father, give us eyes to see what we are not seeing in your kingdom. Give us eyes to see into the spirit realm. Thank you for giving us eyes to see, giving us ears to hear, and giving us attitudes and hearts that are quick to obey your voice, Lord. We welcome the angels of God within our midst, in our midst. We welcome the angels of the Almighty God in our town. And we know from the scriptures that it says, Jesus was talking about little ones, and he said their angels are before the Lord, and not to harm them, because their angels are before the Lord. I think everyone has at least two angels that are assigned to them. And the word also tells us in Psalms that angels respond to the voice of the word of God. And so don't let the angels, when you speak the word of God, they go into action to do what you've spoken. Speak the word. Speak the word. Whatever situation you're in, speak the word. Don't let your angel just stand around bored. He's just not saying anything. I don't have anything to do. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Hallelujah. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're needing, speak forth the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just a lot of angelic activity right now. Hallelujah. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Guard your words. Speak forth the word of God. No matter what your eyes see or whatever it looks like, speak forth the word of God. The word's powerful. It's powerful and it's mighty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. And we had scheduled a work day for March 19th, and we found out there's going to be a whole lot of people gone that weekend, and we're kind of needing a lot of work when we do it. So we are changing it to April 9th, a Saturday, April 9th. We'll do a yard sale and the work on the church. We're going to sell stuff in our yard, and it's going to go toward the carpet fund. Amen. Okay. Well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful week, and stay tuned in to Him.